Brethren and Sisters in Healdsburg, Christiania, Norway, July 9, 1886. Dear Brethren and Sisters in Healdsburg, will you please remember that the greatest snares Satan has prepared for the Church will come through its individual members who do not love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves? Satan is continually at work to wedge himself in between the individual members of the Church. And if he can secure to himself agents who shall work in his interests to turn aside and thwart the purposes of God in any degree, he is exultant. God has instrumentalities in our colleges and in the ministry and in the missionary work. And if Satan can invent something which will divert the talent and have the means flow into another channel, he will. There are those who will be deceived. They work into the hands of the great deceiver. He manipulates them, and they do his service, while they flatter themselves that they are doing God's service. Beware of these deceptions. Ever remember what is due to our Christian character as God's peculiar people. And beware lest in any way one iota of our influence shall be exercised against God's design and God's purposes, and stumbling blocks be laid in the way of those who are weak and halting. We must be careful to give our enemies no occasion to blaspheme God and scorn believers in the truth. Let the conversation of believers be modest and sincere. Let them be guarded about speaking of their own abilities and becoming tools in the hands of Satan to present bribes to divert the minds and souls of men, women, and youth from the great work for this time. Let them surrender themselves to God. Let no gloomy picture sever one soul from having full and deep interest to build up that which God has specified should be built up. If Satan can, he will engage persons from our very midst to discount and weaken that which God would have strong. Let everyone beware how he presents bribes and glowing flattery of wonderful achievements, great financial gain, and wonderful educational attainments. Some who think they are standing firm are dazed, allured, and intoxicated with presentations and hopes that they will never realize. Men and women, unless fully consecrated to God, are weak and foolish in their estimate of human ability and of their estimate of what constitutes Christian fidelity. We do not plead for inactivity, but we plead for any enterprise which will cement the individual interests of the Church and bring harmony and unity of effort to engage in the work of God with might and soul. Never, never forget that you are servants of Jesus. Work strenuously for the unity of believers that Christ prayed might exist. If you do not do this, you are working against Christ. Doing anything that shall in any way weaken the interest of the college or missionary work at Healdsburg is not working with God, but under another captain. Now, I do not think that Elder E.P. Daniels has designed to do this, but there is that in his work which will result in this very thing, and I hope he will stop and consider the foregoing. There is not one of the instrumentalities of God, but that Satan will make every effort in his power to bring into discredit and disrepute, and he can do this most effectually by men who are not far-seeing. He leads them on little by little until they are in a snare and doing the very work that they would in the beginning condemn. I would say to Elder Daniels, my dear brother whom I respect and love in the Lord, stop where you are and consider what you are doing. If you have decided to build up a separate interest, although you will fail to do it, go out of Healdsburg into the world. Do not work with the students of our college at Healdsburg or present anything to attract or divert them from the college. There are special privileges connected with the college which every student should have. You may say you have not done this, but whatever your intentions have been, You could not do the work you have been doing without this being the result. If you want to do work for the Master, put your active mind to work in the field of saving souls to Jesus Christ. See what you can do in bringing many sons and daughters to God. You cannot go on with your present plans without seeing ways where means must be invested, and thus means will be turned from the proper channel and invested in an enterprise which to you seems wholly successful, without a possibility of failure. Then, on this foundation of hope, more means are invested, which lead to greater plans and requires more means, and so on, until finally the result will be disappointment and failure.
Brother Daniels is not a safe planner in any enterprise. It will be failure on his part, and he will involve others. God sees that prosperity to Brother Daniels would be the very worst thing he could have. Therefore, however much Brother Daniels may wish to do God's service, he is certainly going to work the wrong way to accomplish the object. Keep ever in view the example of Jesus, who was meek and lowly in heart. Brethren and sisters in the Healdsburg Church, your usefulness requires that you be humble, holy, pure, and undefiled. Let there be less pride. When the individual members of the church are clothed with humility, when they put from them self-seeking, when they seek constantly to do God's will, they will draw together in even cords. The crisis is just before us, when each will want all the strength and power from God that he can have in order to stand against the wiles of Satan, which will come in every conceivable form. Those who have allowed themselves to be the sport of Satan's temptations will be unprepared then to take the right side. There must be no betraying of confidence or holy trust, no effort to benefit ourselves at the expense of other sacred interests. The world side of our religion should be watched with jealous care. Say it. Act it. I am a Christian. I cannot act upon the world's maxims. I must love God supremely and my neighbor as myself. I am a Christian. I cannot enter into any arrangement which shall interfere in the slightest manner with any one of God's instrumentalities. I do not believe that many of our brethren in Healdsburg see the sad result of the plans and arrangements they may ardently enter into. I do not believe that Elder Daniels realizes that he is moving blindfolded, under a deception. God looks at the hearts of all. He requires uprightness of every soul, but there are those who, for a little consideration in a money point of view, or who see an opportunity to exalt themselves, would not hesitate to be bought or sold. Remember that God's people are but a little flock compared with the Christian world and the myriads of world-adorning men and women. There are examples of righteousness to be given to our youth. Every influence surrounding them should be of a holy character. My dear Brother Daniels does not use good judgment on all occasions. He has extravagant words of flattery, and unless he is himself walking in all humility of mind before the Lord, he will hurt some and lead them away from paths of humility, lead them to think they can do some great things. Every individual member of the church, by his baptismal vows, has solemnly pledged himself sacredly to guard the interest of another, and to the utmost of his ability, build up the kingdom of God in the world. Each is required of God, as far as is in his power, to ward off from his brethren and sisters every influence that will have the least tendency to separate their interests from the work for the present time. He should not only have a regard for his own spiritual and eternal interest, but he should in every word and project regard the souls of those to whom he stands related. This feeling should constrain every individual member of the church to follow Christ's example in his self-denial, self-sacrifice, and love for others. If one in the church exerts an influence that is contrary to the love and disinterested benevolence that Christ manifested for him, and draws apart from the church members, this influence will spread, and many will be led astray. Care should be taken that these discordant ones, who are filled with a self-sufficient spirit, shall have their influence cut off, so that it shall not imperil the interest of one soul. In order to raise the moral tone of the church members, each should regard it a duty to make efforts for personal culture and, in the sight of a holy God, strive to train himself to strict principles. Let each church member feel that he must himself set a good example. Then all are under special obligations to consecrate all their gain to the Lord. It is his, and there should be care how the money is used. They are not to follow the sight of the eyes and the inclinations of their selfish hearts to get that which would gratify them. God is the giver of ability and power to accumulate, and all is to be laid upon his altar. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Proverbs 3, verse 9. The sin of covetousness must be constantly repressed, else it will eat into the hearts of men, and the greedily running after gain will pervert the senses. We are to meet our Lord in a short time. And what account will we give to him of the use we have made of our time, our talents, and our money? I solemnly inquire of the Healdsburg Church, is God among you? Of a truth, thou hast a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. Are you of this number? Have you held fast your integrity? As drowning men, have you clung to Jesus? Has your refuge been in Christ? Are you living for him, obeying him, loving him who is pure and holy and undefiled, in whose mouth there is nothing savoring of guile? If so, you are most happy, for you are more precious in the sight of God than the golden wedge of Ophir. While multitudes are devoted to the service of Mammon, there will be some who have not defiled their garments, but have kept them unspotted from the world. This latter class will have no cheap faith, but will exemplify lofty Christian principles, seeking by personal connection with the Holy One of Israel to improve every ability God has given them, that they may not be of an inferior order. God would have you bring into your religious life all the aptness, tact, sagacity, and soundness of reason, with the most unbending uprightness and lofty integrity, to signalize you as children of the Most High God. Jesus was calm and gentle, not losing his self-control even when in debate and amid elements of contention. God says to you who have had great light, come up higher, nearer to God and heaven. You want faith unfeigned. God has entrusted you with great and sacred responsibilities in placing in your midst the college. Here is a missionary field for every member of the church. Here you can exert an influence for good. Our college is not what it should be, and what it will be if our brethren and sisters will feel that this is a sacred trust. Its influence for good may be widespread, and a light go forth from it, and rich blessings, if godliness is made the foundation in all its operations. Then its workers will possess true dignity and completeness of character, which is the privilege of all to cultivate. There are many youth who should go forth from that college, if it is properly conducted, to be active laborers together with God. But all should take heed that they shall not cast in word or action any influence to demerit the college, for this will be an offense to God. The college will always have to struggle against difficulties. Satan will not cease his efforts to tear it in pieces, for he sees that youth may be benefited, and he will press in uncontrollable elements into the church, and those who have selfish influence, who will seek to weaken the influence of the college rather than build up, support, and strengthen it. We are sorry that these elements are in Healdsburg. We should advise and pray that they will seek some other location whereby they can exercise their ability. But when Satan uses these elements in such a responsible place as Healdsburg, the power of influence to injure the college will be of far greater force than any influence outside of our faith. Christ says it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe to that man by whom they come. For it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea. It is a sad thing to work contrary to God's mind and will. Let those whose names are upon the church book closely criticize their spiritual standing before God. And let those who are confident and self-sufficient take heed to these words. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Peter addresses the brethren in the faith. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Press together, united, you will be strong to resist the enemy. Divided, you will become weak and fall. Let every one of you make it the business of your life to answer the prayer of Christ in your life, to be one as he was one with the Father. Oh, what unity is this! And, says Christ, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The precious plant of love will not grow of itself in the natural heart. It must be planted there by the Spirit of God and be carefully cultivated.
We are nearing the end. The trials of this time will be abundant. Satan, united with wicked men, will make every effort to weaken and annoy God's people. But let not the spirit of envy and jealousy be exercised among believers, for its influence is to weaken, discourage, and destroy. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. There is in everyone who truly loves God the Spirit of Christ, which always leads to peace and love and never to dissension. The more the heart is under the influence of the Spirit of God and its affections centered in Christ, the less will it be disturbed with the roughness and hardships that will be met in this life. True Christians will talk of Christ. They will work for Christ, and as they are imbued with His Spirit, they will work with unselfish interest to bless humanity around them. They are growing, ever growing to the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. They become more and more like Christ in disposition. Discontent, restlessness, and murmuring come from a heart that is not renewed by grace. The heart that is at peace with God is constantly rising above the low earthly elements and is partaker of the divine nature. I have been shown several times that the Lord has rich blessings for the church in Healdsburg, if they will only come into a position where God can safely bless them, and where they are so humble, meek, and lowly that they will not turn the rich grace of God to exalt and ruin themselves. The work of humility is greatly needed in this church. Many are devoid of vital faith and moral strength. They talk boastfully and independently as being rich in spiritual blessings, when the facts in the case are they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3, verse 17. Words of solemn warning are addressed to the church by the true witness against the sins of pride, worldliness, formalism, and self-sufficiency. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, lest I come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. Revelation 3, verse 19, 2, 5. Words of gracious encouragement are presented to the lowly, the suffering, the patient, the faithful, who are alive to their true weakness and inefficiency. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3, verse 20. The true witness says to all, I know thy works. Verse 15. The same searching, scrutinizing eye is in the midst of all the churches in California. Nothing passes that eye of flaming fire. The sinful departure from truth, the declensions and shortcomings, need not be. For every provision has been made for them that they may perfect a Christian character and honor the cause of truth. The promise of God is given to the weak that they may take hold of his strength and make peace with him, and he will make peace with them. His sympathy and love follow the trembling, conscientious soul. I hope and pray that you will walk in all lowliness of mind, that you will learn the precious lessons in the school of Christ. For whoever learns in Christ's school will always be a blessing to those around them. Dear brethren and sisters, Christ is soon to come. Will he find you ready and waiting? The bridal lamps must be kept trimmed and burning. His chariot wheels have been delayed because of his long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have eternal life. When we shall stand with the redeemed upon the sea of glass, with harps of God and crowns of glory, and before us the unmeasured eternity, we shall then see how short was the waiting period of probation. Blessed are those servants who, when the Lord cometh, shall be found watching. Luke 12, verse 37. We are living in an age when we need to heed the injunctions of the Savior. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Matthew 26, verse 41. You cannot avoid the temptation, but you can, through the strength of Jesus, avoid entering into temptation. Let everyone bear in mind that he is exerting an influence to gather with or scatter from Christ. Is every power put to the highest strain and taxed to the utmost limit to make a success of perfecting Christian character, that he may do honor to the truth of God and represent the life and character of his Redeemer, that his people may build one another up in the most holy faith, themselves growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to become strong and as pillars in the church. The Lord is willing to bless us. We may have a fullness in Jesus. We are individually to be tested and tried. We must all pass through the refining process until all the impurities in our characters are burned away. Every individual member of the church will be subjected to the furnace fire. The refiner means not to extinguish them, but to purify them from all dross. The Lord has wrought in your midst, and Satan, who is ever active, watching for a favorable opportunity, has intruded himself to mingle fanaticism with God's work, to sow tares with the good seed. We need to live very close to Jesus in order to discern the precious from the spurious. Some of you are in danger of being satisfied with glimpses you have had of light and love of God and go no further. As you value your souls, watch and pray, for temptations will come just as sure as you are children of God. When you are making the acclamation, "The temple of the Lord are we," Satan is close by your side to make you vain and conceited, and darkness gathers about the soul. There is an earthliness brought into your religious experience, a high opinion of yourself, a glorifying of self. Christ is not exalted, and yet there is the claim, "The temple of the Lord are we." Jeremiah 7, verse 4. There is necessity for the Lord to communicate himself to the soul, that all the powers may be exercised to exalt Jesus and abase self. The Lord will communicate ideas. What a thought that the Lord will substitute his own ideas, his own thoughts, noble, broad, far-reaching, heavenly, for our poor, earthly, contracted ideas and plans. Here is your danger, that you do not press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Has the Lord given you light? You are responsible for that light. Not merely while its bright rays are shining upon you, but for all the light that has been revealed to you. You are to walk in the light and to expect more light, for the light from the dear Savior is never exhausted, but continually shining forth in clear and steady rays, increasing in power amid the moral darkness more and more unto the perfect day. Are you, the members of the Healdsburg Church, seeking to gather fresh manna every morning and evening? Are you seeking earnestly and continuously the divine enlightenment? Are you putting every power and ability to work, to devise means whereby you may glorify not yourselves, but God? Are you, with your whole soul, might, mind, and strength, loving and serving God in blessing those around you by leading them to the light of the Word? Or have you settled down with the idea that you have been blessed, and so are seeking fresh blessings every day? Are you working for the salvation of others, as Christ has worked for your salvation? Are you revealing the spirit and power of the truth to the world in word and actions? Are you, as obedient children, living pure and holy lives? Are you bringing Christ into your lives? He alone is able to cure you of envy, of evil surmisings which you have against your brethren. He alone can take away from you the self-sufficient spirit which some of you possess to your own spiritual detriment. Jesus alone can make you feel your weakness, your ignorance, and then your great need of Him. Jesus alone can let His light reveal to you the true inward corruptions of your nature. He alone can make you feel His pure, cleansing power. He alone can refine you and fit you for the mansions of the blessed. The life in Christ is a life of restfulness and peace. Uneasiness, dissatisfaction, restlessness reveal an absence of the Savior. If Jesus is brought into your life, you will be continually growing, full of good and noble works for the Master. You will forget to be self-serving. You will not live for yourself. You will come closer and still closer in sympathy and love with the dear Savior, and your character will become fragrant with good works. All around you will take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus and learned of Him. It matters not whether we live in a cottage or a palace if the peace of God is abiding in our hearts. Every human being will be precious to us because he is the purchase of the blood of Christ. We shall lose sight of self and selfish interests in seeking to do others good. Satan will present ambitious projects to daze the senses, but everyone must have an eye single to the glory of God and press toward the mark of the prize. Jesus crowded all the good and holy works into this life that it was possible for Him to, and we must do the same. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3.
Inquire earnestly, is the Lord among us? Is the power of His grace controlling us? Are we building up the interests of His cause? In the Lord we shall do valiantly. It is impossible to estimate what an amount of good we can do individually by being loyal and true to God and to our brethren, repressing every unkind thought, beating down self-importance, self-righteousness, and exalted opinions of ourselves, and demeriting others. Let our lives be filled with the ministry of kindness to others, and in self-forgetfulness do others good. We fail 50 times out of 100
where we should be successful in comforting, encouraging, and strengthening the members of Christ's body. Some of you in Healdsburg will soon be called to lay off your armor. Death will claim some of the church members. Are you all ready? You may have no time to prepare for your last change. You may have no strength of physical and mental powers to do that work of preparation which you neglected in life and health. You cannot be too devoted to God. You cannot fix your thoughts and mind too earnestly upon your Redeemer. Some, ere long, will know by experience how vain is the help of man, how worthless is the self-importance, the self-sufficient righteousness to satisfy the soul when the physical and mental powers are failing. I feel urged by the Spirit of the Lord to warn the individual members of the church to make personal efforts for a preparation for eternity. Now is your day of privilege and trust. Will you improve it? Oh, how precious is the soul! Are you keeping before your mind's eye brilliant prospects whereby you flatter yourself you may obtain self-glorification and financial gain? If so, you must be bitterly disappointed. If you seek now to die to self, to live pure and holy lives, to overcome every evil and learn daily the lessons in the school of Christ which He has invited you to learn, to be meek and lowly of heart, then you have a peace and a joy which no circumstances can change. It is the privilege of every one to carry in his heart the Savior who is the source of his own happiness. May the Lord help you to rise above a low, cheap, sentimental feeling. You want to take hold from above. Circumstances need not mold your experience. It is the Spirit which is cherished that gives coloring to all our actions. A heart that is at peace with God and with our fellow men cannot be miserable. Envy cannot be admitted there. Evil surmisings will find no room there. Hatred cannot take root there. The heart in harmony with God is fitted above the annoyances and trials of this life. But a heart where the peace of Christ is not, is unhappy, full of discontent, seeing something defective in everything and every one. In everything there seems to be discord and jarring. Lives of selfishness are lives of evil. They store away evil thoughts of their brethren. Passions are kept worn and fierce by Satan's promptings. A bitter fountain is opened, sending forth streams to poison the lives of others. We are living for eternity. The truth needs to be burned into our souls that we are building our characters for eternity. Then let us be careful what elements we bring into the character building. Could we realize that our characters are imprinted in the books of heaven as the features are transferred to the polished plate of the artist, what a difference would be seen in our ways and manners here. There would be a new meaning to all human relationship. We should be far more tender, kind, and thoughtful for others than we are now. Every selfish action would be despised. Every harsh, unkind word would be repressed. The miserable suspicions, envy, and jealousy that now so often embitter the streams flowing from the fountains of our lives would be all changed. The impatient fault-finding would cease. The misunderstandings which build up strong walls of separation between our brethren and sisters would be broken down. Petty quarrels would no longer mar the members of Christ's body, but each would strive most earnestly, when temptations to feel and act wrong would come, to resist them. The noble, forgiving Spirit of Christ, which would make peace, would pervade the heart. No longer would we be cold, unsympathetic, and unloving because we fancied some neglect was intended us. Hearts are hungering and thirsting for words of commendation and sympathy and confidence. If the dear Jesus is abiding in our hearts, He will be in us as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let everyone in the Healdsburg Church appreciate himself less and his brethren more. Press together, in union there is strength and victory. In discord and division there is weakness and defeat. These words have been spoken to me from heaven. I speak them to you as God's ambassador. When death shall separate the members of the church, what will be our memories of the treatment we have given those from whom we have parted? How forcibly every harsh word and unkind action will impress itself upon our memory. How differently would we conduct ourselves had we another trial? But the one whose career is closed, with whom we have associated in the church, can come back to us no more. What influence has our conduct had over him in relation to his record in the books of heaven? We must meet the faithful record of all our actions in the judgment. What course have his brethren pursued toward him? Are there hung upon memory's hall pictures that are pleasant to reflect upon? Of kind words spoken? Of sympathy given at the right time? Have you tried to turn away the impression of evil surmisings that indiscreet meddlers have thrown into your mind? Have you vindicated his case? How do the pictures hang in the halls of memory in regard to the spiritual help you have given him? May not these memories be of a painful character that you cannot endure to reflect upon? There will never be another opportunity to do him good, to recall any unkind word spoken, or to confess a fault, to wipe from the memory any painful impression. Then let us take heed to our ways, that we offend not in word or action. Let all coldness, all variance be put away. Let the heart melt into tenderness before God as we recall His merciful dealings to us. Let the Spirit of God, like a holy flame, burn away the rubbish that has accumulated at the door of the heart. Throw wide open the door and let Jesus come in. Then His love will flow out from us to others in tender, thoughtful words and acts. And when death shall part us from our friends, no more to meet till we stand around the great white throne, then we shall not have words and acts of which to be ashamed. When death closes the eyes, when the hands are folded upon the silent breast, how quickly the sentiment and feeling change. There is no bitterness entertained, slights and wrongs are forgotten. How many loving words are spoken over the dead, how their best qualities are treasured and brought up in the mind. How many words of praise and commendation are spoken? Shall they fall upon the ears that hear not, and hearts that feel not? Had these words been spoken when the weary spirit needed them so much, when the heart was oppressed, when the soul was battling with temptations, when the ear could hear, and the heart could feel, what a comfort and joy it would have been to them, and what a pleasant picture you could look upon in memory's hall. Oh, how many, as they look upon the dead, are awed and heartily ashamed of the words and acts of their own selfish life that brought sadness to the heart that is now stilled forever. Let us now bring all the beauty and love and kindness into the life of the living. Be thoughtful, be pitiful, be patient and forbearing in the intercourse with one another. Let the thoughts and the feelings which you are so ready to give expression to over the dying and dead be brought into the daily associations with your brethren and sisters in their life. the brethren and sisters in Healdsburg should have that faith which was once delivered to the saints, which enabled them to say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. I can do all things through the Lord who strengtheneth me." The Lord calls upon you as a church to arise and go forward. Whenever the church at any period has confessed and forsaken her sins and believed and walked in the truth, she has been honored of God. Humble obedience and faith have a power which the world cannot withstand. The order of God's providence in relation to His people is continual advancement in the perfection of Christian character and in the path of holiness, going on from light to still greater light, increasing in knowledge and the love of God to the close of probation.